Today's daf is Chulin daf Nunhei, and we are 9 lines from the bottom of daf Nun Dalid Amid Beis. So yesterday we began the Mishnah that discusses not the Elu Trefois Bebehema, but rather the Elu Kisheros Bebehema. The Mishnah said, Nikva HaGargeres, if there's merely a Nekev in the Gargeres, or if there's a crack that's going down the length of the Gargeres, or if there's a hole in the Gargeres, meaning we're actually missing some of the physical matter of the Gargeres, up to the shear of an Isar Ha'italki, which was a coin. In other words, what you see from the Mishnah is that even though we've been saying throughout these sugyas that there's a fundamental difference between the Gargeres, also known as the Kana, also known as the Trachea, and the Vesher, also known as the Esophagus. And that is a Nekev in the Vesher makes an animal a Trefa. But a Nekev in the Gargeres does not make an animal a Trefa. What would have to happen to the Gargeres, to the Kana, in order for the animal to become a Trefa? So the Mishnah, on Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph, right in the beginning of Perikei L'Trefa said, Psukas HaGargeres, it would have to be severed. Reif Avyoi, Reif Chaloli, the Gemara discussed in great detail what that means. From this Mishnah on Daf Nun Dalet Amud Aleph, and we saw this in the previous sugyas as well, you see that even if the trachea was not severed, it's still possible for a defect to render the animal a trefa, and that is if there's a chisaron, not a nekev, not a puncture, but we're actually missing part of the kana. How much? Up to an Isar HaItalkis. Rav Nachman, who begins this morning's daf, discussed, what about if it was exactly an Isar HaItalki? Meaning the Mishnah says, Ad Isar HaItalki. Clearly, up to an Isar HaItalki would not be considered a trefa. More than an Isar HaItalki would be considered a trefa. What about an Isar HaItalki itself? Do you look at it as if it's less than an Isar HaItalki, thus the animal would not be a trefa? Or do you look at it as if it's more than an Isar HaItalki, so that the animal would be a trefa? In other words, do you say ad veloy ad bichlal? Or do you say ad va'ad bichlal? Zok tegumar, I'm Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said, Kisela, when you find the sheer sela in the lachas of trefas, Rashi says, where do you find that sheer? It's in the context of a skull. The halacha is with regards to a human being that if his skull was damaged, there's a chisaron up to a sela. The halacha is he's not considered a trefa. If it's a sela, he would be considered a trefa. So it says Rav Nachman, what about a sela itself? It's kiyasa mekasela. We look at it as if it's more than a sela, meaning only up to a sela is he not a trefa. But if it's a sela, it's as if it was more than a sela, he would be a trefa. Ki iser, as it relates to the shir chisaron of the kana, where the Mishnah said ad ki iser italki, he's not considered a trefa. More than iser italki, the animal is considered a trefa. What about the iser itself? Ki iser. So you see clearly says the Gemara of Nachman holds ad v'loy ad b'chlal. When the Mishnah says ad ki iser italki, it's ad ki iser v'loy ad b'chlal, meaning elu k'shera is up to an iser italki, but for the iser italki itself, it's not going to be kosher. Iser of the Rav Nachman, is that true? Is it true that ad v'loy ad b'chlal? And the Gemara is going to fire away with questions on Rav Nachman with brises and mishnayis, which at first glance would seem to suggest ad v'ad b'chlal. Says the Gemara, chevel ha'yoytze min amito, the context over there is a Mishnah in Mesechtes Kelim, and it's discussing the beds of once upon a time where they would tie a rope around the base of the bed. That rope was considered part of the bed. And being that it was considered part of the bed, just like the bed is Mekabel Tuma, the rope itself would be Mekabel Tuma. The context over there is what happens if there was too much rope. So there's a little bit of rope that's hanging now from the bed. The purpose of the rope is to tie it around the bed, but this is dangling because there was a little left over. If that part of the rope would become tameh, is it mekabel tumah or is it not mekabel tumah? At first glance, you should argue it's not mekabel tumah because that chelik of the rope is in and of itself not a keli. It's not a beged. It doesn't meet the criteria. Not everything is mekabel tumah. It has to have some level of chashivas. That's just a little extra piece of the bed that's hanging. Thus, you can make the argument that maybe it shouldn't be mekabel tumah, or maybe no. Maybe look at it as a chelik of the bed. It's attached to the bed. So if you look at it as a chelik of the bed, maybe it should be mekabel tumah. So in practice, it's actually a little bit complicated. The halacha is like this. If the chevel, if the rope is up to 5 tvachim, it's not mekabel tumah. If it's between 5 tvachim and 10 tvachim, it is mekabel tumah. If it's more than 10 tvachim, it's also not mekabel tumah. Either way, how does this relate to ad v'ad b'chlal or to ad v'loy ad b'chlal? So says the Gemara, Rav asked Rav Nachman Akasha, Chevel Yitz Min Amito, ad chamisha tvachim tahar. The Mishnah says in Masechtas Kelim that if this extra piece of rope is up to five tvachim, it's going to be tahar. My love, chamisha kilamato. Doesn't it sound like up to five tvachim and five tvachim as well? Meaning five tvachim as kilamato would be tahar. If that's the case, you see ad v'ad b'chlal. How could you, Rav Nachman, say ad v'loy ad b'chlal? The Gemara says loy chamisha kilamayla. Rav Nachman told Rav, where do you see in this Mishnah that five tvachim is tahar? Maybe five tvachim is tamei. Tashma, the next part of the Mishnah, mihei v'adasara tamei. We just said that if the rope that's dangling is between 5 and 10 tvachim, the halach is it's going to be tamei. My love, asara kilomata, here too, doesn't it sound like 10 is kilomata, meaning 10 is going to be tamei? You see, ad v'ad b'chlal. So he said, loy, asara kilomailo. Maybe asara is kilomailo because ad v'loy ad b'chlal. Tashma, a raya from a completely different halacha. Hadakin shebe klicheres. If somebody has a klicheres, so klicheres is mekabel tumah. What happens when a klicheres is mekabel tumah? You can't toivel it. There's no tahira for a klicheres. What you have to do is you have to destroy it. You destroy it, it loses its status as a keli. Once it loses its status as a keli, it's not tummy anymore. Because only when it's a keli is it tummy. But once it's not a keli anymore, it's not going to be tummy anymore. What happens if somebody had a klicheres? He broke it, but it didn't break completely. It broke into larger shards. So then, depending on whether there's anything you can do, there's any hishtamshus that you can use those shards for, that would determine whether or not it's still going to be tamei or it's not going to be tamei. So the context over here of this halacha, also Mishnah Masechtas Kelim, is discussing some of the klicheres that was tamei and now it's broken, or even if it was tahar and he broke it, and we want to know if what's remaining, these shards, is still chashuv as a keli. Thus, it's subject to the laws of Tumah, or it's not subject, or it's not, like it says the Gemara, Dakin Shab Klicheres, the smallest Klicheres, Hain, if you broke it and you have a little piece left over, the Karkarei Seyem, that would be the floor, Vidoifne Seyem, the walls, Yerushan Shalem Sumachem, to the extent that you can use them without providing any support, Shiuran, if you want to know whether it's considered a Keli, it would have to be big enough, or small enough, because it's going to be a very small share, Biktei Sichas Kotan. It would have to be big enough so that it can hold the amount of oil that you would need to smear a katan, a baby, an infant, a child that was just born. This is all true v'adloik, if the original size of the keli was up to a loik. So if the original size of the keli was up to a loik, meaning it was able to contain up to a loik, now you have a piece of it. You want to know if it's still considered a keli. What's the shear? The shear is if it's bichdei sichas katan, then we look at it as if it still has a chashivas of a keli. That's if originally it was able to hold up to a loig. My lab loig kilomata. When we say up to a loig, isn't it mashma that if it was a loig, it too would have the shear bichdei sichas katan, even though the Mishnah said ad loig. So what do you see from there? Ad v'ad b'chlal. Es for Rav Rav Nachman. It's not like you Rav Nachman who said ad v'loy ad b'chlal. It's a loig, loig kilomata. Who said? Where do you see in this Mishnah? I mean, really, you have to go through each one to understand what the Havamina was. Where do you see in this Mishnah that loig is kilomata? Maybe loig is kilomata. And the understanding was ad v'loy ad b'chlal. Toshma, the loig v'ad saw, regarding that same halach, if the klicheres was a little bit bigger, it was able to contain anywhere between a loig and a saw, berevius. And now it's broken, and you want to know if the shards still have chashivas for tuma, so if it can contain up to revius. If originally it was miloig vatsa, now in its broken state, it has to be able to contain up to a revius. My love, when we said miloig vatsa, it's sa kilomata. A sa itself is like miloig vatsa, it's berevius. Thus, when it says ad sa, it's including a sa, ad vaad bechlal. Again, a kachron of Nachman, where it says, loy sa kilomata, maybe sa kilomata. Toshma, misod vasa saim. That Mishnah continues and says that if the keli, the original keli, was even bigger, it was misod vasa saim. This is a very big keli. So there, the halach is bechatzi lug. As long as now it can still hold a chatzi lug, it's still considered a keli, it's still going to be tummy. My love, sa saim kilomata. When we say misod vasa saim, isn't sa saim treated like milimata, like miso the atzosayim, and the shir is bechatzi log. So again, you see, when we say atzosayim, it's ad bechal. So the Gemara says lo atzosayim kilamaylo, because maybe ad v'loy ad bechal. Frank the Gemara, v'tanya, we learned in the brayso loig kilamato, so kilamato, sasayim kilamato. Checkmate. So from the Mishnayis itself, you don't know. Because all the Mishnayis said was v'ad loig shirum bechtei sichas katan. What about a loig itself? I don't know. It maybe depends on whether you hold ad v'ad b'chlal or ad v'loy ad b'chlal. When it said miloy v'ad sa, I don't know if sa's kilomata, ad ve'ad b'chal, osas kilamayla, ad ve'le ad b'chal. The same is true for Safsai, but here the price is mefurish. Loig is kilamata. Meaning when it says ad loig, loig is like the ad loig, it's kilamata. It's ad ve'ad b'chal. So saim kilamata, it's ad ve'ad b'chal. So saim kilamata, it's ad ve'ad b'chal. Rav Nachman said, ad ve'le ad b'chal. Rav Nachman was from the gedoyle amayron. But even Rav Nachman can't argue with a b'raisa. So if that's the case, esvei rov le Rav Nachman, maybe the Mishnayos themselves are not indicative one way or the other. But this is a mefurish, a b'raisa. So the Gemara says, Rav Nachman's going to have to say, hasam l'chumro. Maybe that b'raisa is not discussing me'ikar hadin, because maybe me'ikar hadin, Rav Nachman sometimes holds ad v'loyad b'chal, but l'chumra he holds you will go ad v'ad b'chal. What's the precedent that maybe we should go l'chumra specifically as it relates to all these halachas that we just mentioned, which are shiurim? The precedent is something Rabbi Yochanan said. Kol shiurich achamim lahachmer. Anytime we assess a shiur, we go l'chumra. Rashi gives an example of it. So if you have a shiur that's based on the width of a person's fingers, his etzbois, so you could hold your fingers together, which would make it a smaller shiur, or you could keep them together a little bit more loosely, which would make it a slightly larger shiur. So what do? You always go l'chumra. If it's l'chumra for it to be a smaller shiur, then you make it a little bit smaller. If it's l'chumra for it to be a larger shiur, you're always going to go l'chumra. Chutz mikigrish al ksamim, with the exception of ksamim, that's in Hilchas Nida, l'haka, because then we always go l'kula. But the bottom line is, being that you find kol shiur chachamim l'hachmer, so Rav Nachman held that even though I hold that as it relates to l'treifus, for example, there's a concept of ad v'loy ad b'chlal, but when it comes to shiurim of tumah v'tahira, that's the context. Those mishnayis and brises as it relates to Masechtas Kelim, there we're going to go ad v'ad b'chlal l'chumra. But Enochanami, if it was l'chumra to say ad v'loyad b'chlal, over there you would say ad deikanami diktani alo dahi, and really it's mefurish kemat in another brayse like Rav Nachman, because the brayse says chamisha kilamaylo and asara kilamata, that as it relates to the shear of chamisha you go l'maylo, as it relates to the shear of asara you go l'mata. That's referring to the rope that was dangling from the bottom of the bed. So what was the halacha up until five? Tfachim, the halacha is, it's considered tahar. It's not mekabel tumah. From 5 until 10, it's tameh. More than 10, it's going to be tahar as well. Thus, up until 5, which it's tahar, so 5 itself, you go lemaila. That's the chumrah. You say, ad v'loyad b'chlal. You impose the chumrah. But as it relates to the asara, which from 5 until 10 is Tameh, if the 10 is going to be Kilamayla, it's going to be a Kula. Thus we say that the Asara is Kilamata, you go L'chumra. Meaning at first glance it's a Stira. Chamisha Kilamayla and Asara Kilamata, is it Ad V'Ad B'Chlal or is it Ad V'Loy Ad B'Chlal? It's the same Mishnah. Mishnah said Ad Chamisha, Ad Asara. The Teretz is like what the Gemara is coming out right now. That really, whether or not you say Ad V'Ad B'Chlal or Ad V'Loy Ad B'Chlal is totally in what the Chumra is. The Chumra, you say Ad V'loyad b'chlal. L'chumra, you say ad v'ad b'chlal. Rav Nachman said in our Mishnah, ad v'loyad b'chlal l'chumra. But if in the context of the Mishnayos and Masechtas Kelim, or depending on which part of the Mishnah, Masechtas Kelim, as it relates to the rope that's dangling, you're always going to go l'chumra. Just one interesting thing that's worth mentioning. So at first glance, very interesting halacha. In the olden days, there were ropes that they used to tie around the bottom of the bed. And sometimes it was leftover rope. And the question is, that leftover rope, do you look at it as part of the bed? It's for Kabbal Tumah? Well, do you not look at it? Says the Mishnah that really you have to measure the rope. If it's up to 5 tefachim, so then it's going to be tar. It's not going to be mekabel tumah. If it's between 5 and 10 tefachim, then it's mekabel tumah. If it's more than 10 tefachim, okay, so shiurim always halacha l'moshe m'sinai. But this sounds like it has a little bit of a, it sounds like it has a little bit of a hesber. So if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says something very interesting. Sok Rashi. Less than 5 tefachim is tahar, because there's no ishtabshus, there's nothing you can do with it. I mean, there's nothing you can do with it, it's a davar katan, and even though you would think if it's so small and so insignificant, maybe it should be bottled to the bed, that's not the way we look at it. We look at it as something that's very insignificant, it has no chashivas at all, and in tum, if something has no chashivas, it's not mekabel tumah. From 5 until 10, the reason it is mekabel tumah is because there's a ishtabshus for it. What's the ishtabshus? Rashi, on the bottom of Nun Daled Amud Beis, Dibra Masko, Loi Chamisha Kilomailo, middle of the Rashi. Shaboy Koitrin es Apsochim Zechel Pesach Mitzrayim. Because the Yidden, it's interesting, in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, they would tie their carbon Pesach before Pesach to the foot of their bed. They did it zeichel Pesach Mitzrayim. It's Pesukim in the Torah that Hashem told the Yidden in Mitzrayim that they had to take the sed, the shepsalah, that they were going to bring the carbon Pesach, and they had to tie it to the bed. And this was a suicide mission because the sed was the avodah zarah of the Mitzrayim, and this was mishchu yetchem avodah zarah ukulachem tzayin shel mitzvah, part of the nisim and the flois that took place when the Yidden left Mitzrayim. But this was a halacha in the Shulchan Aruch of Pesach Mitzrayim, the carbon Pesach that was brought in Mitzrayim, which was very, very different than all the other psachim that would ever be brought. Number one, a carbon Pesach had to be brought in Eretz Yisrael. This is a carbon Pesach that was being brought in Mitzrayim. There was no Mishkan, there was no Beis Hamikdash. This was the Zrikas were different. This was a whole different type of carbon Pesach. But the bottom line is that the Yidden brought a carbon Pesach in Mitzrayim. One of the halachas of Pesach Mitzrayim is Bechi Pazlin, right? But one of the halachas was is they had to tie it to the bed. So even though there was no such halacha l'dayre dayres, but zeichel yitzias Mitzrayim, the Yidden would always do this. So if you have a rope dangling from your bed and it's between 5 and 10 tefachim, so you have what to do with it. What you do with it is you can use it. And Rashi says, what's the makar to this minik dechsev? Isru chag bavoysim at karnes amizbeach. So what does isru chag bavoysim at karnes amizbeach mean? This is a remes. Isru is miloshen to tie. Matar asurim. Isru chag. They would take the carbon of the chag and they would tie it. Where would they tie it? The beds. That's what this is referring to. They would tie it to the beds, and from here you have a makar to this minig of Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim, and that's what this Mishnah Masechtas Kelim Zokt Rashi is predicated on. It's predicated on the fact that this is what they used to do, and as a result, if the rope is between 5 and 10 tefachim, you have to. If it's less than 5 tefachim, it's too short to tie the carbon Pesach. Between 5 and 10 tefachim, you can use it for the carbon. What about if it's more than 10 tefachim? Then Rashi is really too long, you're going to end up cutting it. And being that you end up cutting it, we don't look at it as part of the bed, and weiter the halach is, it's going to be itar. Incidentally, the pasuk pshat and the pasuk of Isru chag bat voisim at karnes mizbech doesn't mean that. Pasuk, what it means is that the Yidden, when they would go up to be other regal, so they would take their karbonis with them, they would take the karbon achag and they would tie it, like on a leash, and they would bring it at karnes mizbech. Right? Not they were tying it to the Karnes HaMizbech, but they would bring it to the Karnes HaMizbech, they would bring it to the Mizbech, and that's where they would bring a carbon. This is also the Makar to the idea of Isruchag, right? The day after Yontif has a Shtikl Kedusha. In fact, Ramah says in Hilchos Pesach, in Simin Tov Chof Tes, V'noyagin Laharbois K'sas Ba'achilo V'shtiyah B'yoy Ma'acharachag, it's actually a Yontif. There's a minig, laharbeis ktsas, a little bit, ba'achila v'shtila, the day after Yontif, v'hu isruchag, and it's what we know as isruchag, and it's learned out from this pasuk, isruchag ba'voisim. There's a concept of isruchag. There, it's the day that's isru to the chag, that's attached on some level to the chag. Either way, a very interesting rashi. Zok to Gemara Vayter. So the Mishnah said, nitel hatchoil. If the spleen of the animal was removed, so even though it sounds like a treifa, it's not. It's actually one of the eluk sheris bebehema. The animal would not be considered a treifa. Amr Rabba Avir Mishmei the Rabba Avir is in the name of Rabba Leitcha Arul Nito. That's only true if it was completely removed. Avol Nikev. But if it has a neck of treifa, it's going to be a treifa. If that's the case, why wasn't it mentioned in our Mishnah? Mishnah says eluk treifas bebehema. The first Mishnah on that mem days, you have a new treifa. Rabba Avir said that even though nitel hatchoil is not a treifa, but nikev hatchoil is a treifa. So the truth is, this is one of the chef shmeitzes. This is one of the chef shmeitzes that we had in that Membeis on the days that have been mentioned already a few times, and that is Nikiv at Chayil was a trait. Masrav Yisabar Abin Vitev Rabbi Yisabar Zvido Chaytich Meubar Shevim Meyer Muter Bachilo. So the context over there is the halachas of Ben Pekua, which is discussed in an entire parak here in Masechtas Chulin, parak Behema Hamikasha. That's the next parak. You have some time until we get there, but it's the next parak in Masechtas Chulin, very lomdish parak. And the context over there was discussing where there was an animal that was a mu'uberes. She had an uber inside of her. And somebody stuck his hand into the womb of the animal and cut the animal. So the question is, the animal, meaning the uber, how does it impact now when you go and shecht the mother, being that you had cut the uber, does the uber still become mutter with the shechita of the mother? Like the halacha of a ben pekua? Like the halacha of behema hamikasha, or does it not? That's the context. Either way, so the Mishnah over there says, "Choytech mi ubim shemeyel muter ba'achilo." The halacha is it's all going to be muter ba'achilo. Minat choyl, minat kloyes. If, however, we cut some of the choyl and the kloyes of an animal, aser ba'achilo. The halacha is it's aser ba'achilo, and it sounds like that what's aser ba'achilo is the choyl and the kloyes. Again, the first part of the Mishnah is discussing the halachas of ben pekua. The second part of the Mishnah is discussing a regular behema where somebody cut part of the choyl, part of the spleen of the animal. Umenakloyes, part of the kidneys of the animal. The halacha is asa b'achila. Again, it sounds like the tchoil and the kloya is the asa b'achila. Why would there be asa b'achila? Because if the animal's alive and you cut a piece of animal off it, it's Eva Menachai. It sounds like there's only an Eva Menachai issue. Ha-behema gufa shaya. But it sounds like the behema itself is good. Why is it good? Suppose you're going to tell me. Why not? It's not a trefa. The Mishnah says, Elu ksheris be-behema, nitel ha-tchoil. Let's focus on the spleen. If the spleen is removed, it's not a okay, so if you cut the spleen, it's also not a problem. But if Rabbi Avir is gerecht, it's one of the Shev Shmaitzes, that even though if you remove the spleen completely, there the halach is, it's not a trefa. But if you puncture the spleen, it is a trefa. Then if you puncture it, it's a trefa. If you cut it in half, it's certainly going to be a trefa. So how could it be that if you remove part of the spleen, the halach is aser b'achila, the spleen is aser, because of Eva Menachai, one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, it's mashma, ha behema gufa sharya, l'chari, the whole behema should be a problem. Because now the behema is a trefus. Even if you do a shechita afterwards, it's not going to be good. So the word says, really, the behema is aser. So why does the Mishnah say it in a very misleading way? The Mishnah says, aser b'achila, it sounds like the spleen is aser b'achila. I did a ton of ration. But the b'achila being that the ration wanted to say that when you're chaytech from the uber, in the womb of the mother, even the piece that you cut becomes mutar b'achila when you do the shechita later on the mother. So there the focus is on the piece that you cut. So tana nami seifa asa b'achila. So in the seifa we use the same language, despite the fact that it's misleading. Because in reality, according to Rav Avira, it's not only the piece of the tchoil that was cut off the animal that's going to be asa b'achila. The entire animal is going to be asa b'achila. Because even though nitel ha-tchoil, if you remove the spleen, the animal's not a trefa. But if you puncture the spleen, and certainly if you sever it, you cut a piece of it off, it's going to be a trefa. Ibai, same thing, Mara says a chiddush. Nikiv l'chud v'nechtav l'chud. It could be there's a difference between a puncture and between if it completely ruptured. Rav Avira said if there was a hole in it, that's when it's going to be a trefa. But if you cut a piece of it off, maybe it's not going to be a trefa. So if you remove the spleen, the halach is it's not a trefa. According to Ibai Yisema, even if you slice it in half, it's not a trefa. But if there's a nekiv in the spleen, then it is going to be a trefa. Nitlo hakloyes, the Mishnah said that if the kidneys of the animal were removed, it's eluk sheris b'behema. The truth is, at first glance, it sounds very tzarechian. How's it possible for an animal to live without kidneys? Sounds like a very big chiddush. There's actually a fascinating note in the art scroll, if you want to take a look, about a study that was done, Ayin Shom. But either way, says the Gemara, Omar Rochish Bar Papa, it's a Rochish Bar Papa of Hadron fame, said Mishmei de Rav, in the name of Rav, Lachsa B'kul Yachas, if one of the kidneys of the animal became sick, trefa, it's going to be a trefa. So even though the Tana of the Mishnah is saying that if the kidneys were removed, the animal's not a trefa, but if the animal has its kidney, but it's luxa, it's diseased, it's sick, it's not well, that's a problem, and then the animal's going to be a trefa. Amri b'marava, in marava they said, that's only true if this illness in the kidney went l'makim charetz, to the part where there's like a little bit of a hole. What part of the kidney is that in? It's l'chevar, it's the white part of the kidney, the tusi masni, that's underneath the loins of the animal. If you have a picture, the picture's worth a thousand words. Amrav Nuchunya, Shaltenu, Lekulu, Trufay, the Marav. I spoke to all the experts in Trefis and Eretz Yisrael. The Amruli, and they told me, Hilchas like a Rachish Bar Papa, that the Lachas like a Rachish Bar Papa, that even though the Mishnah says that if an animal lost its kidneys, it's not considered a Trefa, but if the kidney was simply diseased, then it would be a problem. Additionally, they told me, that Hilchas like a Rav Avira, that Lachas not like Rav Avira. Rav Avira said that even though the Mishnah says, Nita la Tchoil, is not a Trefa, it's kosher, but if there's a Nekim in the Tchoil, would be a trefa. So hilchas akarachish bar papa, but v'leis hilchas akarabavira. And the Gemara says v'leis amoran. This that we said leis hilchas akarabavira, meaning a puncture in the spleen doesn't make the animal a trefa. That's only beklusha. That's only if the puncture happened on the thinner side of the spleen. Avu besumche. Again, if you have a picture, if it was on the thicker side, trefa, it's going to be a trefa. V'yishtayir b'kayiv dinezav cheren. Even if it was on the thicker side, the only time it's a puncture is if it went deep enough that the part that's not punctured, the thickness of the spleen that wasn't punctured, is thick enough, like a dinar zahav. But if it went in further than a dinar zahav, it's only then it's going to be a problem. Meaning if it's on the thin side, it's not a trefa, because leis hilchas k'Rav Avira. It's only when it's on the thick side that we're chayish for Rav Avira. And even on the thick side, it's only if it went so deep that lo yishtayir din erzav. But if it was a shtayir din erzav, even if it's on the thick side, it's going to be kosher. Amri b'marav, kol ha-poisel b'reya, kosher b'kolya, rule of thought. Anything that's considered a trefa when this incident happened to the reya, to the lungs, would by definition be kosher bekulya if the same exact thing happened to the kidneys. How do you know that? Sorry, nekev, possible reya. Because a nekev is possible reya. I mean, that's treifus 101. The kosher bekulya. But if you have a nekev in the kulya, the kidneys, it's going to be kosher. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, kosher nekev, the kosher reya, kosher bekulya, right? Should come out, back of the envelope arithmetic. There's a basic kalvachimer that anything that's kosher with the reya is kosher in the kulya. If you tell me that anything that's possible by the reya is kosher by the kulya, then l'chayra, if something is kosher by the reya, kal v'chaymer, it should be kosher by the kolya. Maskev l'rab tan chuma, v'klolo, who is that true? V'arei mugla, pas, the kosher b'reya, u'pasal b'kolya, says the Gemara. Additionally, v'arei mayim zakin, dikshayim hacha v'hacha, and mayim zakin, pure water, that's in the lungs or in the kidneys, are kosher. Okay, that's not a kasha. Rashi says, well, you died in my kushya. I don't know what the kasha is with that. The kasha we're trying to bring out is that we said that if something's possible in the reya, it's kosher in the kolya. So, if it's kosher in the reya, it has to be kosher in the kolya. Okay, problem is mugla. Mugla is kosher in the reya, and it's possible by the kolya. That's a kasha. The fact that mayim zachin is kosher here and kosher there is neither here nor there. That has nothing to do with the kasha. Rashi acknowledges that. Either way, says the Gemara, Elam Ravashi. So Ravashi said, treifus komedamis la'adadi, you can't make kavachomers when it comes to treifus. There's no such halacha. That's regarding the tzemes agidin, as we're going to see in the coming dafet. But the point is that when it comes to treifus, this is one of the big rules. You can't compare one treifus to another treifus. Notice what's the Gemara saying. When they said in my rabba, a rule called a poisel bereya kosher bekulya, you can't make a kavachomer from that. That's a true statement. We're not reneging that statement. That's a true statement. If something is poisel bereya, that means it's kosher bekulya. So a nekev is poisel bereya, a sircha is poisel bereya. That's because of the nekev. So all these things would be kosher bekulya. But you would think on the meat of kavachomer that if it's kosher bereya, kavachomer has to be kosher bekulya. No, ad kan. That we don't say. Because in Oimrim, you can't use the Yud Gimel Midas Shatayr Nidrash Shaspem. You can't even use logic. You cannot make any logical connection between one halacha and another halacha. As tempting as it sometimes may be when it comes to the laws of treifus, because treifus come nedamis lahadadi, when it comes to treifus, you can't make these cheshbon. Says the Gemara, mayim zakin ksherin, we said that if there's mayim zakin either in the reya or in the kolya, it's not going to be a problem. Lo yamaron, that's only true. Elo detzili, that's only if it's clear mayim zakin. Avachiri, but if it's a little dirty treif, vichitzili, nami lo yamaron, even if it's clear, it's only true. Elo sariach, if it doesn't smell, avo sariach, if the water is spoiled, treif. Hakulya shektina, the kidney that shriveled, so it became smaller. So it seems like it's a problem. But really, it depends on how small it became. Bidak, if we're dealing with the behemadaka ad kapul, it would have to be up to a pull. A pull is a beam. Ad va'ad b'chlal, ad v'lo yad b'chlal. Because if it's a larger animal, ad kanova beninus, it would have to be the size of a medium-sized grape in order for it to pose a problem. The Mishnah said some have this girsa, some don't have the girsa. We'll learn it. Nita lechi hatachtoin. So if the animal lost its lower jaw, it's still kosher. Am Reb Zeira, that's only true if the animal can still eat. That's in short, Rav Zeira said. If you could stop food down the animal's throat, even though it can't chew, because it doesn't have its lechi atachtoin, then it's from the eluk sheiris bebehem. But if it can't eat, then it's going to be chef. The animal lost its uterus. Tano, hi ho'em, hi tarpachas, hi shalfuches. These are all words that you find in Perik Elu Trefus, no less, to describe the uterus of an animal. And even though sometimes Chazal use this word, sometimes they use that word, it's really all the same. The charusa v'deisha mayim ksheiro. The Mishnah said that if the animal was charusa v'deisha mayim, so the lungs of the animal shriveled. So the halacha is that it's going to be kosher, but only if it happened v'deisha mayim. It's a very obvious diak. It has to be charusa v'deisha mayim. What happens if it was charusa bidei adam? Then it's going to be a treifa. How come it wasn't mentioned in the Mishnah? It's one of the Shef Shmaitza. So one of the Shef Shmaitza was also charusa bidei adam. So if the lungs shriveled, it really depends on how it happened. If it happened bidei shamayim, it's going to be kosher. If it happened bidei adam, it's going to be a tana rabbana. Is that charusa? What's the definition of charusa kosher? Tzomka reya shala. The halach is the reya if it became smaller. Bidei shamayim sheir. Bidei adam treifa. Shimon was a Shimon was said af bidei kol abrias. Even if it happened through one of the other brias. Rashi says, for example, if it happened al yidei a shagas aryeh, the roar of a lion. So if it happened by a lion scared the animal, and as a result the reya shriveled, veer too, what? So Shimon didn't explain. Again, what the Bryce is saying. Ezeu charusa. Kolshin tsumka reya shala. The lungs shriveled. Okay, that's the easy part. If it happened b'day shamayim, it's going to be kosher. If it happened b'day adam, a person caused it to happen, then it's going to be a treifa. Shemir alazar imer af b'day kol abriyos. Yibay luhu. Rav Shemir alazar areisha koyu lukul. He's going on the reisha that b'day shamayim is kosher. So too, if it happened via another animal, or is he going on the sefer? The sefer said if it happened b'day adam, it's going to be a treifa. Af b'day kol adam, there too, it's also going to be a treifa. Says the Gemara Tashma, the tiny learned to the price of chrusa b'day adam, treifa. Reb Shimon Eloiza Omer, af b'day kol habriyos, treifa. So you see clearly, the Reb Shimon Eloiza went l'chumer. Rabba bar bar chana havakazal b'midbar. Rabba chana was once going in the midbar. Ashka chani dichri did some kireya didu. He saw rams who Reya had shriveled. Also, shol be midrasha. He went to Beis Medrash. Amrule, they told him that there's a way to see how this shrivel happened, so that we can know if it happened bidei shamayim or bidei adam, so that we can know if it's from the shev shmeitz of elu treifis bebehema or if it's from the mishnah nafna dalam ben aleph elu cheres bebehema. So there's a little experiment we can do, and we're going to be able to figure this out. They told him like this: bekaita, this is during the summer. I see mishichli chevari. You take a white earthenware keli, malinu maya kriri. You fill it up with cold water. Vanchinu meislez. You live it for 24 hours. Ihadrin barium. If it comes back to its strength, meaning it expands, it becomes healthy again. B'day shamayim, it's a sign that it's b'day shamayim. Ukshera, it's not going to be a treifa. V'iloi, if not treifa. B'sisu, if this is going down in the winter. Aisi mishichli shichumi, then you have to take a black earthenware keli. Umalinu mayabshuri, you fill it up now with cold water. Now it has to be with warm water, lukewarm water. V'anchir meyeslis, again, you leave it for 24 hours. Ihadra bari ukshera, if it comes back to its health, it's kosher. V'iloi treifa, it's going to be a treifa. Hagluta. The Mishnah said an animal that was flayed, meaning it was skin. So you have an animal, it's alive, but doesn't have its skin, and you want to shecht it now. So the question is, because it doesn't have its skin, is that a reason that it should be considered a treif or not? So it's machlik is in the Mishnah. Rameir machshir. Rameir said it's going to be kosher. The Chachamim poislim, and the Chachamim said that it's going to be pasul. Zok the Gemara Tanu Rabbanon, Hagluda, Rameir machshir, Chachamim poislim, Mikvar Heir, Alaz Safra, V'yoichram ben Gudgada, Al Hagluda Shepsula. There were Tanoim that were made, that they had a Mesoira, that an animal that's a gluda is a pasul. Not like Rameir in the Mishnah who was machshir, but like the Chachamim in the Mishnah that were poislim. Amr Shimon Alaz, Shimon Alaz said, Chazoi Rameir. The Rameir was chayzer. You should know, I heard that Rameir was chayzer. Says the Gemara, Michal Rab Shimon Alaz, Apolog Rameir, Begluda. It sounds like Shimon Alaz holds that there's a machlokes Rameir in the Chachamim. It's just Rav Shimon Alaza said that I heard that Rameir was chayzer. Even though Rameir in the Mishnah was machshir, he came around. But the Gemara says, that's true. Does Rav Shimon Alaza hold that there was even a machloikis in the Mishnah? What do you mean? The Mishnah says there was a machloikis, Rameir in the Chachamim. Yeah, but we have information that Rav Shimon Alaza, who was a Tana, was polig on the Mishnah. He held there was never even a machloikis between Rameir and the Chachamim. What's this brisa? What's this information? V'atanya, Rav Shimon Alaza, loy nechleku Rameir v'chachamim ala gluda shapsula. It's pretty straightforward, right? Rav Shimon Alaza said there was no machloikis. So how could Rav Shimon Alaza say that Rameir was chayzer? Rameir's chayzer suggests there's a machloikis, but Rameir said, you know, Chachamim, you're right. I'm going to be chayzer. But here, Rav Shimon Alaza said mefurish, loy nechleku Rameir v'chachamim al gudish absolut. And the brisa continues, agav, and says, v'kfar heid, Rav Ishi, b'nei Shrav, Yudu, ha-basim, uthin, Rav Yakiv, v'shum, Rav Tarfan, al gudish absolut. But either way, as it relates to Rav Shimon Alaza, here Rav Shimon Alaza says, chazabai Rameir, which suggests that there was a machloikis. Here Rav Shimon Alaza says, lo nechleku Rameir v'chachamim al gudish absolut. Says the Gemara, v'im nishtai bar kasela, Ksheira. We'll get back to that in a minute. Amram Nachem by Yitzchak. My loy nechleku. What Rav Shimon Alaza mean when he said loy nechleku loy amad Rameir b'machlukasa? It's the same Rav Shimon Alaza. I thought Rav Shimon Alaza holds it was a machlokes. That's why he said chazabai Rameir. Rameir was chayzer. Because he once argued with the Chacham, then he changed his mind. When the Rav Shimon Alaza said in the Braisa loy nechleku, what he meant to say was loy amad b'machlukasa. He didn't hold his position. But rather he was chayzer to the Chacham. Either way, this Braisa, again, discussed the halacha of a behemoth that's a gluda, an animal that was flayed of its skin. Machloikas Rameir in the Chachamim. Shimon Alazar said that Chazabai Rameir, loy omad b'machlukoisai. But b'derech agav, the Braisa threw in a halacha that it's possible that an animal that's skinned almost completely should still be kosher. What did the Braisa say? Im nishtayer boy kisela, ksheira. Those were the five words we said we're going to get back to. But im nishtayer boy kisela, said the animal was flayed. We're going according to the Chachamim. Shimon Alaza holds, even Rameir now holds, that it's a problem. The animal's a treifa. But if you have a little bit of skin left over, it's a big animal. You have a little bit of skin. How much? A selas worth of skin. That would be enough for the animal to be kosher. What exactly does that mean is going to be the subject of the Gemara from here until the end of the daf. Omar mar. Im nishtayberk is alik sheheicha. Where does that seller's worth of, not worth, seller's size, usually when it's a seller, it's worth. Where does the seller's size of skin have to be? Omar Rav Yehuda mat Shmuel. So Shmuel said, al pnei hashedra kulo, it has to be on the spine. It has to be on the spine. That's where it has to be. So if you have a seller's size of skin on some other part of the body, that's not going to be enough. It has to be on the shed. Ibailu, what does that mean? The arich the katan doesn't mean that it could be very, very narrow. I mean, it could be a narrow strip of skin that goes along the entire length of the spine, meaning it's arich, it's long, because it goes down the entire spine, but it's also cut in, it's very narrow. The point is, and the reason it's like a sella is because if you add up all the space, you add up the entire skin, what you end up with is a sella. Maybe it has to actually be the width of a sella. It has to cover the entire spine. It's two different shiurim. When we say it has to be sella, is it two things? It has to be the width of a sella and has to go all the way down the entire spine. So it's going to be the width of a sella from top to bottom, and it's going to cover the entire spine. Well, that's not what it means. It's really one thing. What it is it has to be equal to a sella, but it could be very, very narrow. It doesn't have to be the width of a sella. It just has to add up to a sella. If you took the long strip of skin, you turned it into a little circle, it would end up being the size of a sella. And just so it happens to have to be on which part of the body? On the shedra part, but it doesn't have to cover the entire shed. Tashma, the parashram, the roi, mishmei, the shmul, b'roichav kesela, apnei shedra kul, the mochamer shita. That would have to be b'roichav kesela, have to be the width of a cell, has to cover the entire shed. Either way, that's the first pshat. Shmul said, what does it mean if it's a shtayr cell, it's not going to be a treifa? After the Gemara's second beer in it, it means that it's on the Shedra. Again, what does that mean? The width of the Sela, and it covers the entire Shedra of the animal. Rabba Barbachano Amar Rashi Prokin. No, it's not enough that it's on the Shedra, but rather it has to be on all the Rashi Prokin. So Rashi explains, it doesn't mean all the Rashi Prokin of the animal, all the major joints and organs of the animal. But what it means is Bechol Pirkei Chul Yoseh, on all its vertebrae, Va'atzmei Sashuk Va'yarech, and on its thigh bones and on its knee. Be'inu Chir Kesel, that's where it has to be. You need a size of a Sela on each one of those specific Rashi Prokin. Rabbi Loza Ben Antignos Mishum Rabbi Loza Rabbi Yanu Yavim Mokam Tiburoi, on its navel, also known as the belly button. Interesting shayla. What would be if the animal only lost its skin on the makam hashedra, but all the other skin is there? I mean, you see, there's a chashivus according to Shmuel for the skin that's on the shedra, because the animal could have no skin, but all it has is the skin on the shedra. It's going to be kosher. So what if it's in the reverse? What if it lost the skin on the shedra, but it has all the other skin? Or nitel makam tibure, according to that mandam of kulikai. Or nitel rashi prog, according to that mandam of kulikai. Mai, what's the locha teku? Amara, a fourth sheet, the kala ur kule matzal begluda, chutz miyar besa process. When the brisa said that im nishtayr by kaselik shera, for an animal that's gluda, you don't need it to be on the shedra, you don't need it to be on makam tibure, you don't need it to be on the rashi prog, it could be anywhere. Rav said it doesn't matter where it is, it's always going to be kosher. It's a fourth shita. There's just one place that it can't be. Chutz mi arbeis ha-process. It can't be by the animal's hooves. What exactly that means is in and of itself a discussion. Rabbi Yechanan says, afilo arbeis ha-process nami matzo. No. Any skin that's the size of a sella, even if it's by the arbeis ha-process, that's the fifth shita, that's going to be matzo. Boy, minei Rav Asim Rabbi Yechanan. Arbeis ha-process ma'u she'yatza begludo. Is it matzo? So we just said Rabbi Yechanan shita. Amalei. That's what he said. Matzo. It's going to be matzo. Amalei. So Rav Asim told Rabbi Yechanan, l'madatonu Rabbeinu. Didn't you once teach us? The Mishnah says at the end of the Masechta, eilu she'irei seyem kifsaron. The context over there is we know that a nevela is also b'achila. A nevela also contracts tumma. There's something called tumas nevela. That's one of the fundamental differences between a nevela and a treifa. A treifa, although it's asa b'achila, but meaning that it had a kasha shchita, it's not tame. There's no tumas nevela. A nevela never had a kasha shchita. As a result, it's also going to be tame. So the Mishnah discusses, what about the skin of an animal? Does the skin of an animal have tumas nevela? The skin of a nevela, or not? So the Mishnah says, some yes, some not. So elu shayresem kifsaron, and it mentions over there, or beis ha-process, that the or of the beis ha-process by the animal's hooves is Kiv Saron, and you see, thus it's going to have Tumas Nevela. What's the kasha? If it's Kiv Saron, then it shouldn't be Matzel in this halacha. We're discussing, we need skin. The animal was skin. So if there's a little bit of skin in the Shtayr by Kisela, that's going to be enough for it to be okay. Said Rabbi Yochanan, even if it's by the Arbeis HaProses. So Rav Asi asked Rabbi Yochanan, Limadatonu Rabbeinu, Rebbe, you associate yourself. Because you yourself taught us a Mishnah, and it happens to be a Mishnah that we have in Masechta Schul in the end of the Masechta, that the Ur of the Beis HaProses is treated like Basar. With regards to Tumas Nevela, if it's Basar, then it's not Ur. Which one is it? Is it Basar or Ur? Basar is flesh, Ur is skin. So obviously there's something about the physical nature of it that's confusing us a little bit. It's very soft, rashy, it's tender, whatever. But the point is that as it relates to the halacha, we're not sure. So you can't have it both ways. It can't be Basar and Ur. So here you have a Mishnah later in the Masechta Schulim that says this Tumas Nevela, which means it's Basar, because the Ur of a behemoth doesn't have Tumas Nevela. It's only the Basar of a behemoth that has Tumas Nevela. And here you're telling me that it's Matzel. I'm a lazy, told him, Al takni teni, don't ask me such a kasha. Shebeloshen yochid ani shoyno, he said, that Mishnah of Elu Sherisayim Kivsaran, it's true I said Arbeis HaProses, but it's a Das Yachid. I'm paskin that way. Here, when I'm telling you with regards to the halachas of Treifas and Gluda, this I'm telling you halacha l'maisa. Time we learn to the Brides, Vashayichid, that's all Eilo. La'ak t'gzayis me'osha ta'chaz aliyah. If somebody shechts a carbon Eilo, and he had a mind to be makter, a kezayis of the ur that's underneath the tail of the animal, chutzum kaimai. If he had a machshava chutzum kaimai, to eat the basar chutzum kaimai, to be, well, you can't eat the basar of an Eilo, to be makter, chutzum kaimai, to do the. So the halacha is, possibly my carbs, chutzum, man, I Pigo, the Chayav and all of Chorus, Eliyazah ben Yehuda ish Ivlim, Amam Yishum Rabbi Yaakov, Chinei Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda ish Ikus, Amam Yishum Rabbi Shimon, Echad Arbeis HaProses. It doesn't matter if the Machshava was regarding the Arbeis HaProses. This is the part of this that we're going to need. Echad Arshal Rosh Shel Egel Arach, or the Ar of the head of an Egel Arach. Echad Arshal Tachaz Ha'alya, the Ar that's underneath the tail of the Yav. V'chol Shem Aruchal, Gabi Tumah Eilash Reis Enkev Sarim. And so to all the parts of an animal, where the Chachamim said that even the Ur is considered Kibsarim with regards to Tumas Nevela, Lahavi Ur Aboshes, the rabbis, the Ur of Oisei Makkoy by a female animal, that Loch is Chutzim Koy Mepasim Emei Karis, Chutzim Mani Pigal Vachayavan Ol Karis. What do you see from there? What we need from there is one thing. We know. We're familiar with the halacha of pickle. We don't have to chaz of that. The halacha is that if someone, a kohen, would have a machshava to be makter the basar of an oyla, chutz man, chutz kohen, so the carbon would now become pickle. What if he had a mind to be makter the ur of an oyla, chutz man, chutz kohen? Of course it wouldn't be pickle. You have to be makter davish adarka lahakter. And even though an oyla is kulay kalo, but that's a little bit of a misnomer. It's all the basar that was kalo, but they used to skin the animal, have shit nituach, and the ur actually went to the kohanim. The kohanim were able to have anah from a chelik of the carbon oyla. The fact that you could. The R of other carbonas went to the Kohanim is all learned out from the carbon oil. So the R of the oil never went on the carbon. So if a Kohen would have a machshava to be makter the R of an oil, of course it wouldn't be a machshava spigel. So what do you have over here? We have Rab Shimon, Rab Yaakov, and Rab Shimon ben Yehuda ish ikos, Mishum Rab Shimon, who's saying a halacha that if a Kohen had a machshava to be makter the R base haprosos, it would be a machshav espigal, clearly suggesting that the ur beis haprosos is treated like basar. Okay, so you have a shita that the ur of the beis haprosos is like basar. Who said it? Is this the shita of chachamim? No, this is a das yachid or a das shnayim. But it's a yachid. It's not a rabbin, right? That's the point. So it's a das yachid. Rabbi Yochanan said it's true. The Mishnah in the end of Masechta Schulim. This is Gishmak. This says elu sha'orei seim kivsaron. And it says Arbeis HaProses. I told you that Mishnah, Chevra. But when I told it to you, I was being shown to Das Yochid. I was saying over Eliezer ben Yehuda ish Ivlin, who said in the name of Rabbi Yaakov. And by the way, Reb Shimon ben Yehuda ish Ikus used to also say in the name of Reb Shimon. But it all traces itself to a Yochid, quote unquote, who said that as it relates to Machshavas Pigel, a Kayin that was had a Machshava to be Makta, the Arbeis HaProses, Chutz Hazman, Chutz Hamkamim, it's going to be Pigel. Vaislois, it's Basar, if it's Basar, as it relates to Tumas Nevela, it's also going to be considered Basar. But the halacha, that's not the case. Because we don't paskin like the Yachid. Yachid v'rabim, halacha k'rabim. What is it, la halacha? It's not Basar. La halacha, it's Ar. La halacha, it's not Tomei Tumas Nevela. La halacha, you can't have a machshev as pigle to be makter the Ur beis haprosos chutz hazman chutz hamkayim. Because not Basar. It's not a dovish atark of a hakter. Because the Ur of the oil didn't go on the Mizbeach. If it's not Basar, it's Ar. Or if it's Ar, then there's no reason it shouldn't be matzel. Because Rabbi Yochanan holds that it doesn't matter where the Ur, it doesn't have to be on the Shedra or on the Rosh Prakim or Antivurai, it could be any part of the animal. The halach is R, that's the size of an Isar, would have the ability to be matzel. Exhale. So just before we conclude, I thought it's kedai to go back to some of the raid that we spoke about yesterday. So, you know, yesterday we talked a little bit about a contemporary halachic shaila that's very much related to Elu Treifas, which seems to have evolved from a more general shaila to a shaila that affects chol of stam or chol of companies a little bit more pointedly. And that is, there's a certain procedure that's done rather often for animals that are being raised commercially, and that is animals that suffer from what's called a displaced abomasum, DA, or a left displaced abomasum, an LDA, where because of the foods that are being stuffed into the animal, so the abomasum, that's the fourth stomach, the cave will sometimes slip out of place, and there are times where the veterinarian, the roife, has to do some sort of invasive procedure to be able to make the abomasum go back into place. The invasive procedure sometimes involves making a hole in the cave. A neck of in the cave is a trefa, and even though they're going to stitch the animal up, and it's going to be it's going to produce a lot of milk and do whatever it's supposed to do, it doesn't matter. The halacha is a nekev in the trefa is one of the yudches trefas that the Mishnah mentions in Perikei Trefas and Chulin, Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph. And because of that, a big tumult arose, and that is, are you allowed to drink the milk of such an animal? Why not? Because the Gemara says in Masechtas Bechiras, Da'avavah Mem Beis, Kol Yoytzim Ena Tomei Tomei, that just like you're not allowed to eat the meat of an animal that's not kosher, or a kosher animal that's a trefa, so too you're not allowed to drink the milk of anything that's a davar tameh. If that's the case, so there was a big shaila that arose, that l'chaira, how are you allowed to drink milk? Why aren't we concerned that the milk that we're drinking came from an animal that had this procedure done? And supposedly, somewhere between 5 and 15%, that's where Belsky writes in his tshuva, the OU on their website say somewhere between 1 and 9%, whatever the number is, there is a significant amount of animals that suffer from this condition called DA or LDA. Many of them, or if not most of them, are treated with an invasive procedure of some sort. If that's the case, there's a decent amount of milk that's floating around, that's in circulation, that came from an animal, that's a treif. Based on that, you shouldn't be able to drink the milk. So you're going to tell me, what's the problem? Called the parish, meruba parish. Everyone knows the halacha. You always go baser raiv, and this is halacha 101. But the reason it's not so pashid is because today, milk is manufactured commercially, and as a result, we have thousands and millions of gallons of milk that are all nesarev. But the nesarev, literally in one big vat, once you have a taruvos of lach belach in one specific, one contained area, so now already one is nice and tam into the other, and based on that, you have to come out to shishin. Meaning, the only time you can be mevatel a taruvos lach belach is if you have 60 times heter keneged iser. To have 60 times heter keneged iser, you would need that the iser should represent 1.63% of the entire taruvos. If this procedure is being done 5 to 15% of the time, or 1 to 9% of the time, it can't be soimich on a shishin. It doesn't sound like there's a shishin. So if there's no shishin, based on that, l'chura, you would have a very big problem. That's what we spoke about yesterday, and we mentioned that Rabbi Belsky and his in a famous tshuva was matter. He held it was very, very poshit. He thought the whole kasha was a very big mistake. People argued with Rabbi Belsky, but that was, at the very least, Rabbi Belsky's psak, and all the hashkacha organizations in the United States essentially follow Rabbi Belsky's psak or similar psakim, and they're matter. Thus, you'll find OUD or Chafkd or OKD, start whatever it is. It all comes from this idea that at the end of the day, there are svaras to be made. Now, one thing that we didn't make clear yesterday that's worth mentioning, and that is that even though there's a suffix trefis issue, it's just important to realize that this trefis issue is a shail of trefis de rabbanon. It's not a shail of trefis de raisa. And the reason is because even though when you have a taruvas lach belach, you need shishim of het to connect the iser in order for it to be mutter, but the halach of shishim, when the taruvas is min b'minai, is only din de rabbanon. Meaning we paskin that min b'minai is batel b'roiv. It's only midrabanan that you need shishim. So if you have a taruvos of two completely different things, min b'she'enai minai. So there the halach is tam kikah d'raisa. And if tam kikah d'raisa, as long as you don't have shishim keneged the iser, we assume the iser is noisein tam. These are sugis in the second part of Masechtas Chulin, which Mitzvah will learn bar chava. But for now, tam ke'ikar, min b'she'enai minai is a din d'oraisa. As a result, if you don't have shishin, you have over here a taruvos of issa d'oraisa. But when you have min b'minai is batel mid'oraisa b'roiv. The fact that you need shishin is only a din d'rabbanan. So we're not discussing a din d'oraisa. What we're discussing is a din d'rabbanan. And really, it's based on that fact that a lot want to say. I've heard this b'shem Rabbi Heinemann, but the OU has it on their website as well. They feature this nekuda very prominently. Rebelsky's Meramazin in his tshuva. And that is that based on that, that in and of itself would be a tremendous svara to be made. cynical. And the reason is because although it's true, there are national statistics that say how often this procedure is done, but apparently it varies from farm to farm or from manufacturer to manufacturer. So when we say 1 to 9%, let's work with that number, there are places where it could be 1%, there are places it could be 9%. It's not that of every 100 animals, it's going to be between 1 and 9. That's not the way it is. It really depends on who the veterinarian is. It depends. Different places have different minhagim, which means that there are farms where the number can be 9%. There are farms where the number can be 1% or maybe even 0%. If that's the case, when you drink milk, you don't really know which farm this milk is coming from. It could be it's coming from a place where they actually never had any animal that they did this invasive procedure to treat the DA or the LDA. So really, it's a suffix if you're even drinking something that was Nesarev in a Taruvais. If it's a suffix if you're drinking something that was Nesarev in a Taruvais, that means really what you have is a suffix Drabana. Because even if it was Nesarev in a Taruvais and you don't have Shishim Kineged, it would be awesome in the Rabbanan. So the whole Shai was in the Siddur Rabbanan. And you have a suffix. Why is it a suffix? Because, you know, maybe the farm that I got, that my milk comes from, they don't do this procedure at all. I know nationally they do, but not every farm does. As a result, you can dine as a suffix. If each one you can dine as a suffix, so you could look at it as a suffix Rabbanan. But the truth is, and really this is what Kedai, I think, speaking about for a few minutes this morning is that we mentioned this yesterday. You have to take a step backwards. You know, we're talking about the animals that have this procedure done, and because they're animals that have this procedure done, how do you know when you drink milk, you're not drinking from milks that have this procedure? Okay, this is very controversial. Kamekomus in the Shtabra, we spoke out to Koyach Datera. There's a Tzad Isser in this whole shmuz as well. Koyach Datera is always adif, it's more fun. So we spoke out to Koyach Datera. But everyone should ask their local rabbi. This is not La Halacha, this is just, we just do raid. But as it relates to really the bigger question, and that is how you let it drink milk at all. This is a serious problem if you think about it. I mean, it's not. But if you think about it, it feels like it should be. And that is because speak to any Shaykhit, he will tell you that there's a good percentage of animals that they shech, that they find treifas. Let's take a number that I've seen G'dolei HaPoskim use, 20%. So it means 20% of animals are real treifas. And when I say treifas, I don't mean sirchis, drama, kilov, miyuch, mishmush. That already could be soymechan, coolers, they're really all sfeikis. You see that the mesoyer is to be maker when it comes to sirchis. The whole rama is predicated on a kula. The whole kilov controversy came down to a kula. But let's talk about a real treifa. There's a real percentage. I mean, someone told me that Hebrew National throws out 12% of their animals because they're treifas. So I mean, ad kedekach. So you were talking about their standard, 12% of the animals don't make the cut. So there's real treifas issues. So if that's the case, when you shecht an animal, you know if it's a treifa or not. But when you milk an animal, you have no idea what you're doing. So that means you have to assume about 20% of the milk in circulation, chol v'yisrael milk, in the Heimish grocery stores, are treifa milk. So al ma anu soimchim, how do we drink milk? At first glance, it would seem to, we're discussing this. Okay, we found this new einfach, the DA, the LDA. Wow, there might be treifas. And without that, there's no treifas issue. 20% of animals are treifas anyways. Let's assume. So if that's the case, why isn't that a problem? But the M is that is a tois. And again, this is very very important. The reason that's a tois is because every single animal has a chazaka. There's a roiv that it is kosher. Roiv behema is ksherim heim. Chazal said this in Chulin, Daf Yud Aleph. It permeates Mesachtos Chulin. Roiv behema is ksherim. So each individual animal has a chazaka or roiv, whichever one you want to use, that it's kosher. Each animal is considered to be kosher. It's kosher based on the idea that roiv behemos are kosher. Thus called the parish, meruba parish, you assume that this animal is a kosher animal. If that's the case, then anytime you milk an animal, you assume the animal that you're milking is a kosher animal. Now, it's true that if you're going to milk 100 animals, each animal, although it in and of itself has a halacha of kol d'parish meruba parish, and we assume it's a kosher animal, but once you mix the 100 together, at this point you have to assume 10 to 20 of them maybe are treifa. That's fine. And a chanami. No, you can't argue that metzias. But the reality is each animal is kosher. So from a pure halachic standpoint, we look at all 100 animals as if they're kosher, and that's why it's not going to be an issue.
Now it's a chiddush, because it's true, each animal, if you look at it individually, is a kosher animal. But mechatez, you have a right to do that. Maybe you should look at the summation, look at the big picture, look at the 20,000 foot view. And what's that? If you look at the big picture, what you have over here is a taruvas where you know for sure 20 of the animals are milking non-kosher milk. But the answer to that is you don't do that. The answer is, from a halachic standpoint, you look at each animal individually, and being that you look at each one individually, it's for that reason, that's the way you're supposed to look at it. Rav Asher Weiss, in his Minchas Usher, it's in Parshas Mishpatim, it's Simin Mem Gimel. So he has a part of it, it's Sivkot and Dalit, it's B'Sheilis Kashrus Acholah Bizmanenu. So he brings this Shiloh. He says that somebody told him, and he was very bothered, how do we drink milk today? At the end of the day, you know for sure that if you buy milk, 1-2 out of 10 containers of milk in your local grocery store have halal trade for this. How do you drink it? So you're going to tell me svaris, how do you understand this? He says like this, when the yisoid that we just spoke out. The yisoid had toos. The toos is, the masha hechlifu bein din toirat achri rabim lahatois, they confuse achri rabim lahatois lemadoi ha-statistika. With statistics, the af im emes nochin hadavar shebe histabru statistics ef shaloyim al eder behemis shkulang sheres. He can't say on an eder of behemis that they're all kosher. Eliyesh lahaniach shekish ochos hamiut haklole yia sheyia kach ochos hamiut gam beeder zeh ach loy came bedin toira does lina baseroyf ulufay mishpatei atoira dainina bechol behemah din ksheira umemela af im yitzdarfu behemis rabbis kulang sheres of eden toira. He says roiv is not statistics. Statistically speaking, 20 out of the 100 animals are treif. But in halacha, 100 out of the animals are kosher. Because in halacha, you look at each one individually. Each one is a parish, meruba parish. Each one has a roi behemis ksherim heim, supporting it. It has a certificate that it's kosher. And as a result, you have 100 kosher animals. So from a hilchas roiv standpoint, 100 out of 100 are kosher. From a statistical standpoint, only 80 out of 100 are kosher. And if that's the case, the 20 would be a lot more than shishim. You'd have a problem in this taruvos. But we don't go based on... Roiv is not statistics. Roiv is not the statistical probability. That's not what it is. Roiv is a halacha. Now, it works within the realm of statistics. There's a svara behind the roiv, but it doesn't have to match. It doesn't have to stem with the statistics. At the end of the day, roiv has a life of its own. And if roiv could paskin on each animal on its own, that it is a kosher, so it doesn't matter if I know statistically that some of these animals are not kosher. Roiv paskin on each one, roiv beim is kosher. And that's why it's going to be kosher. He brings over there that somebody asked him a kasha, that if, says, I want to ask you a question. If somebody would swear, if somebody would go over to, he'd walk into a grocery store, he said it on the farm level, but if somebody would go into a grocery store and he would make a shvua that there's no chalav treifa in this grocery store right now, would it be a real shvua? Would it be a shvua shav? Would it be a shvua shaker? Would it not be a shvua shaker? And somebody swears. He walks, he's going to walk into a grocery store, he says he swears there's no chalav treifa. It's a shvua shaker. Because there's for sure chalav treifa there. But he said he's not a spoiler, Rabbi Shua. He says, I'm asking. You want to know if this chalav from a treifa? Yeah. But that's true. But I don't care if it's chalav of a treifa or not. I care if it's kosher or not. And if you swear that there's milk in this grocery store that's not kosher, that's a shvua shaker. It's chalav treifa, or it's a kosher chalav treifa. Because at the end of the day, we go baser roif. So I don't care what the statistics say. At the end of the day, you go baser roif. And if you go baser roif, roif paskins that they're all kosher. Ubimetzias yodanu sheish mir treifas. That's true. Avalim nishba shakala behemis yeshlem din kshera. That's a good shvua. And a chanami. You can't swear that there's no chalav of a treifa. Because that's probably a shvua shaker. It's based on statistics. And statistics would not allow you to make such a shvua. You're not supposed to be delusional. That's not the point of this. You're not supposed to assume, yes, somehow, that Hashkoch is fearing it, that we're not getting any chalav treifa. And maybe there's such a concept as well. But that, from a pure halachic standpoint, that's not what it is. That would be on the hashkafa above our pay grade level. But from a practical standpoint, that's not the point. That's not the point. We have to go with the metzias when it comes to halacha. We're going with the metzias. Metzias says that enochinami, the metzias says that enochinami, we know there's a miut of treifas over here. Such a strong miut that l'chere creates a taruvas lav balach where we have real problems because you don't have shishim keneged. But at the same time, being that on each individual one, we have a psak that each individual one is okay. It's for that reason it's going to be okay. My understanding is that there are G'dayli Yisrael that are not so comfortable with this. I've heard anecdotally, I don't know this firsthand, but I've heard anecdotally that Rav Heschel Schachter doesn't drink milk, and he talks about this, how he's worried about this. You know, at the end of the day, you know, it's true, we, you know, it's coming down to a roi. Roi beim is ksherim heim, but the Metzias is not that way.
And really, when you're dealing with Rav, it's a problem because Rav, you know, Ruva v'chazaka, Ruva adiv. There's Rav Chanan that maybe we'll speak about tomorrow. But there's Rav is supposed to be a mevarer. It's supposed to be a machria. And the question is, can you use Rav when Rav is not being mevarer? Let's say chazaka. So chazaka, you can have chazakas that are sasri lahadadi because chazaka is not a mevarer anyways. Chazaka is like anhaga. I don't know what to do, so you just leave it with a chazaka. But Rav, the whole chefetz of a Rav is to be mevarer. So how could you have a Rav that doesn't shtim with the metzias? That doesn't stem with the statistica, like Rav Usher Weiss calls it. But regardless, this fascinating raid that literally is not just negeya halacha l'maisa, every coffee you drink, unless you drink it black, every coffee, this is negeya. So either way, this is the fascinating thing, that as it relates to the tarfus issue where we know that 20 animals are treif, that doesn't bother me. Because for that, you have Rav Usher Weiss's tshuva. What bothers me is the few percentage of animals that had this procedure done, that ulayef shetamer might be a treifa. So at first glance, it seems interesting, right? You know 20 animals have holes in their lungs. That doesn't bother you. But the fact that there's a displaced abomasin, which was something that was discovered 20 years ago, that maybe some place can hold as a problem, that's already going to be a big tumult. The answer is yeah. The answer is because as it relates to the regular, the circus, you have a roi behemoth, you could be soymich on the roi, because it's the efshel levruri. When it comes to the DA, that's efshel levruri. That you could be mevar. You could be mevar because you could see the scar. As a result, even though from a statistic standpoint, it seems, but when it comes to halacha, we don't care about what the statistics say. We look at it from a pure halachic standpoint. The 20% of circus doesn't bother me. But the displaced abomasin, that's already a big tumult in halacha.